Reading of the scriptures together. And our reading will come from the Old Testament, from the book of Jonah. From Jonah and chapter 2. It's on page 983 in your Pew Bibles. And then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. And then I said, I am driven away from your sight. Yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. And yet you brought up my life from the pit. O Lord my God, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. And this is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Plenty of you know full well what it is to be weary. You know what it is to be a fainting soul. You know what it is to experience the tension between what you experience and what you know to be true. Plenty of you know that friction. You know that pain of the conflict between what you sense, what you feel, versus what you believe and what you know. Plenty of you know the difficulty of training your faith to outrun your senses. The prophet Jonah was precisely in such a state. What does he sense? What does he see? Kids, how many senses do you have? You have touch. You have your ears. What do you do with your ears? You know, you can hear, right? What do you do with your nose? You know, you smell. You have your senses. Jonah experiences a profound conflict between what he can sense and what he knows. Look at verse 1. Where is Jonah? Okay, he's the one who wrote down this book for us after the fact. And he writes down a prayer which he prayed. And where did he pray this prayer? Look at verse 1. Where did he pray this prayer? He prayed it from the belly of the fish. Why is he in the belly of the fish? Well, he is there at God's mercy. He is there because of the kindness of God. He is there because the Lord of glory has refused to allow Jonah's rebellion to persist. He is there because the God of grace, the God of Israel, the mighty one of Jacob has prepared and appointed this, whatever you call it, a great fish or a whale. It's some sort of sea animal with a great big mouth. And he has prepared this great fish to swallow up Jonah so that Jonah can be restored to his God and his duty. So he prays. And he prays from the belly of the fish. Now, what does Jonah sense? Now you look at verse 3. What he senses is absolute terror. He experiences the terror of the waves. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Here is Jonah, and what he can sense from the belly of the fish, which he describes in verse 2 as the belly of Sheol. What is the belly of Sheol? Sheol is the word in the Old Testament to describe one of two places. Sheol is used to define two places in the Old Testament. One place that is used with the word Sheol attached is the place of the wicked. Where do the wicked go in the afterlife? Psalm 9, verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into Sheol. They shall be turned into, the way we translate it in English, they shall be turned into hell. And Jonah feels the wrath and the curse pressing down upon him. He feels the weight. The billows, the waves, they are crashing over him, and he feels it. But Sheol also refers in the Old Testament to the physical grave. So on the one hand, it refers to the realm of the wicked after death, which is in contrast to the place of the righteous after death. But Sheol can also refer to the grave. So Psalm 16 and verse 10, you will not leave my soul in Sheol. You will not leave me, the Lord Jesus says, under the power of the grave. Okay, Jonah is crying out, he says, verse 2, from the belly of Sheol. He has been tossed overboard into what amounts to a watery grave. And he feels the terror. Death is the king of terrors, Job says. And he also senses and he feels the source of the waves. Who is the author of the storm? Look at verse 3. You cast me into the deep. All your waves and your billows passed over me. And what he senses is the terror and the source of the waves. He experiences in his body and soul expulsion. He's expelled. He's kicked out. He feels in his brain, he senses in his soul that he has been cast off. Look at verse 7. When my life was fainting away. Verse 4, then I said, I am driven away from your sight. Well, he has fled the commandments and the calling of God. He has cast himself out of the favor of God's presence. But he feels it. Now, what do you do? Jonah is a man who fears the Lord, which means he has a quaking love and trembling delight in the God of heaven. What do you do when you fear the Lord, when you love your Christ, but you feel cast off? What do you do, as Isaiah puts it, when you walk in darkness and it feels that there is no light? What do you do? What do you do when you become a fainting soul? And what does Jonah do? Well, Jonah, he prays. Look at verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. Verse 2, I called out to the Lord out of my distress. He prays. Look at verse 7. When my life was fainting away, when you become a fainting soul and you are at the end of yourself, what does he do? I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Now, what does Jonah do? Look at verse 4. And then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. And when he remembers, when he looks, when he prays, oh, y'all, he is training his faith to outrun his senses. What he senses, what he feels and experiences is the power and the crushing weight of the waves. And when he looks to the Lord, what does he remember? When you look to Christ, what do you remember? He remembers that the Lord is still his God. That he has not been utterly, completely cast off. Otherwise, he wouldn't be praying to him. The Lord is still his God. Look at verse 1. I called out to the Lord. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, from my watery grave, and you heard my voice. Verse 6. You brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. Verse 7, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. He remembers that the Lord is still his God. And he remembers that the Lord is mercy. It's not just that God possesses mercy. It's not just that he acts mercifully. It's that God himself is mercy. Kids, just take an equal sign. God equals mercy. Do that with all his attributes. God equals holiness. God equals love. God equals goodness. Jonah remembers his God. He remembers that his God is mercy, that he can look again upon the holy temple, verse 4. What is it to look upon your holy temple? Well, it's to look to the place of the means of grace. It's to look to the spot. There is a physical place, a physical brick and mortar location where the means of grace, where the word of God will be read and preached and prayed and sung. I will look again to the place where you descend to meet with your people in the means of grace. Jonah remembers who his God is. He remembers that his God is merciful, and he trusts that this God will deliver. He will. You look at verse 6. You brought up my life from the pit. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Now we're going to come back next Lord's Day and think exclusively about Jonah's statement here. Salvation belongs to the Lord. In many ways, it summarizes the whole Bible's message. We'll come back to it next Lord's Day. You know, what do you do when you become a weary to the bone, fainting soul? Would you not look to the Lord? Would you not remember the Lord? What is it to remember the Lord? When he says in verse 7, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. What does that involve? What does that mean? It means, first of all, that you remember his word. Now, what is it to remember the Lord? It is to remember his word. The Bible and Christ, they go hand in hand. We don't sever the two. We don't separate the two. To remember the Lord is to remember his word. Now, what is Jonah praying here? Just look at his language. Just scan his language for a minute. What does his language sound like? Just think to yourself. I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Take verse 5. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Take verse 8. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. What does his language sound like? Y'all, Jonah is praying the Bible. Jonah doesn't have a physical copy of the Bible with him inside the belly of the fish. What is his storehouse? What is his book? What is his Bible? Where does he go? He can't pull it out of his bag. He can't pull it up on his phone. Where does he go? You know, his memory. Jonah has stored his memory through reading, through meditating, through singing, through praying over the scriptures. Jonah has ingested. We use this image of the whale ingesting Jonah. Jonah has ingested the very words of God. And what does he do now? Now that he is lying in what seems and appears to be a watery grave, y'all, what will you do when you are lying on your deathbed, when you cannot rise from your bed? What will you do when you can hardly speak? What will you do? Oh, will the Bible, will the scriptures, will they not be the food for your soul when your memory is gone
And all you can remember is little portions and slivers of truth coming back to your soul, back to your mind. Here is Jonah crying out from what he considers to be the belly of the grave. And what does he do? He cries out from what he knows. He's praying Bible. Why should you take the word and meditate and memorize and ingest and make it part of your very being? Why? Well, because you may have need of such remembered words when you remember nothing else. And you have a memory of the God of mercy, the God of grace, the God of all truth. You remember the Lord, which means you remember His word. Jonah prays Bible. What portion of the Bible does this sound like? What has he committed to memory? Has he not taken chunks and portions of the Psalms? You know, the Psalms, what are the Psalms? They're Israel's hymn book. They are the church's hymn book. And they are the manual. The Psalms are the manual for this earthly pilgrimage and warfare. The Psalms cover, do they not cover the whole range of human emotion? Aching, longing, joy, desire, aspirations, hopes. Did our Lord Jesus Himself not go to the Psalter? As his hands and feet were pierced, did he not himself go to the Psalter? Into your hand I commit my spirit. My God, why have you forsaken me? Read the Psalms. Pray the Psalms. Sing the Psalms. Remember the Lord. Remember His word. When everything else grows dark, that little flicker, that little spark that you see, it comes from another world. You need a light that glimmers from another world. That's why you need the Bible. You think any light could make its way into the belly of the fish? Jesus treats this as history. This is no fable or allegory. What will you do? What light will you still possess when all other lights go out? You still possess the light of the world. You still possess the light of Christ. And where do you find that light of Christ? Where do you find that light of the world? Where do you find Jesus? Where do you hear Him calling? Do you not see that light flaming from the pages of the Scriptures? Remember the Lord, which means you remember His word. But secondly, it also means that you remember His Son. When you become a fainting soul, it's not if, but when you become a fainting soul, you remember the Lord and you remember His Son. Jesus said, one greater than Jonah is here. Just as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the fish, even so must the Son of Man be 3 days in the grave. And just as Jonah was a sign to his generation, even so will the resurrected Son of God be a sign to his generation. When you become a fainting soul, you remember the Son. Jonah is a type He is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a picture of what Jesus will be, what Jesus will do. Is he not pointing you ahead? What will Jesus experience? The preacher to the Hebrews, does he not say, this Jesus, this Christ, who in the days of his flesh, Hebrews 5:7, in the days of his flesh, when he offered up strong crying and tears. What was Jesus? He was nothing if not a man of prayer who poured out his soul, who laid himself out before his Father. He would rise up a great while before day, and he would seek, and he would pray, and he would cry out. He would cry out according to the Word. He would pray the very words of the Bible right back to his Father. You remember the Son who would cry out with strong cryings and tears. You remember the Son who, just go down the list, was cast into the deep. Save me, O God, because the flood comes in upon my soul. Psalm 69. The Psalms are not only the manual for your pilgrimage and warfare, the Psalms are also the description of the soul and sufferings and exaltation of Christ. Cast into the deep, into the heart of the seas of the wrath of God, the flood surrounded me. You go to Psalm 69 this afternoon. You go to Psalm 88, and you read in Psalm 88 of the waves and the billows crashing in upon David's greater son, and you read of the wrath, the justice, the curse, the holiness that comes crashing down upon the son. You read of him being pierced. They have pierced my hands and my feet. Jonah is a type. He is a picture of Christ. And when you become a fainting soul, you remember the sufferings of Christ. You remember that you are in union and communion with a crucified Savior, with one who was slain, with a Lamb of God who took the place of his people, with all the waves and the billows of God of heaven passing over him. You remember Christ, who, verse 5, the waters closed in over him to quench his sacred life. His native soil was saturated with his own blood. He descended to the valley of death and humiliation, and his own tears moistened the ground. You remember the suffering and the humiliation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You remember that a crown of thorns wrapped around his head. Jonah's a picture. Jonah is a type pointing you ahead to what Jesus would suffer. Weeds were wrapped about my head, he says, at the roots of the mountains. Well, here is the Lord Christ with thorns pressed in upon his skull. Y'all, what is the gospel? The gospel is Jesus bruised, crucified, pierced, slain, forsaken, deserted by his friends, excommunicated by his own visible church, tormented by his own civil government. The gospel is Jesus Christ bearing the dreadful curse. Bars of earth and heaven closing upon him, bearing him down to the pit. So much so that what Jesus sensed in his human nature, what he physically experienced, was being cut off. My God, why have you forsaken me? But you also remember that the Son was not abandoned. What is the gospel? Not only that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is slain and the bars of earth and heaven press him down to the grave. No, the gospel is also, verse 4, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. You look unto Jesus. You run your particular wearying, fatiguing race, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Verse 4, I am driven away from your sight, bearing the cross, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple, for the joy set before him endured that cross, despising the shame. You look at Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 this afternoon. You look to your Lord Christ, who bore that crown of weeds and thorns piercing his brow, a crown of thorns that is replaced by a diadem of beauty and glory at the second coming. You look to your Christ. Verse 6, you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. You look to that Christ whose physical frame was not abandoned to the grave. Psalm 16, you will not leave my soul in Sheol. You will not abandon me to corruption. And you remember that your Lord Jesus did this as a substitute. Why did he allow the prison bars of earth and heaven to press him down to the grave? Why would he allow the waves to crash over his head? Why would he submit to the jeers, the taunts, the wagging tongues of the mob? Why? Is it not so that he could gather a people for himself and purchase their redemption, a redemption that is full and complete? He did this as a substitute, so that all who look to Christ, all who remember the Lord, remember the Lord, remember your God, remember his word, you remember the Son, that all who look to him, all who look to Christ shall not perish, but have everlasting life, that you will not be left abandoned in the grave, that your physical frame will not see permanent corruption, that you, in union with a crucified, risen, and glorified Savior, that you, in union with him, made like him, you will rise. Oh, kids, what is the gospel? What is the beauty of Christianity? What is the message? The message is Jesus is raised from the grave so that you will not endure corruption. He is raised so that you can sit with him in heavenly places. Many of you do know, with Living Color, what it is to be a fainting soul. You know what it is to be weary. As you remember the Lord, as you remember his word, as you remember his Son, as you train your faith to outrun your senses, you remember this. The God of grace and mercy is in the work of sculpting. He is a sculptor. He is an artist. You see these statues that are works of art that have been sculpted and chiseled. The God of grace is a sculptor. He is a chiseler. And without the sharpened chisel and the regular strokes of the hammer, the beauty of detail doesn't come out. He will often use the chisel of pain and suffering. He's not out to get Jonah. Neither is he out to get you. It is his purpose to chisel you, to make you a monument of his grace. And sometimes before he performs the most beautiful, breathtaking strokes, he will say to you, "This is going to hurt, but it must be done. You look to the Lord. You remember my promises. You remember my son. And you remember the joy that is set before you." I know some of your particular pains and trials right now. Some of you I don't. But in each of those, you remember our God is a Father of much beauty and much mercy. His chiseling is not punishment. His discipline is not penal. And his arm is always strong and always good. The Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. And may you rise and walk in newness of life. Would you pray with me? Our kind and gracious Lord, O Lord, from the depths we cry unto you. And we trust that you are a God who loves and who delights to hear the cries of your people. But we ask, Lord, that you would do whatever it takes. And Lord, do whatever it takes to glorify yourself in our own life. Do whatever it takes to honor yourself. And Lord, here we are. We submit to you. Do with us what you will. Lord Jesus, we look to you. We would rest under the sweet sound of your voice on this Lord's day. In Jesus' name, amen.